Hey, this is Tom Waddle. Thanks for listening to the Waddle and Sylvie podcast brought to you by Miller Lite, the presenting sponsor of the 2020 ESPN 1000 Virtual Fantasy Football Championship. Find out how to be a part of it at ESPNFFC.com.
Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
All right, Craig Kimbrell has been woefully bad as a Cub. It was worth a try always. I explained earlier that I thought, with Morrow being hurt all the time and the Cubs needing a closer and one was available,
just money. It was just money.
You didn't have to trade for him. He did have a bad end of 18 with the Red Sox when they won it all. He was demoted. But he's been a Hall of Fame-type closer for most of his career. And he was just sitting out there. He didn't have spring training, so a couple of red flags. But you have money. The Cubs have all sorts of money.
They have a tie to him as well. I mean, because they know him.
Sure. And they had a huge need. They were in it again last year. So they threw money at the problem like they've done in the past. And it has been brutal. He was bad last year. He's been just terrible so far this year. You just can't rely on him to get anybody out. He did strike one guy out yesterday. Had to be pulled then. And we've been wondering, what do you do with him, and what's wrong with him?
Do you want to know what his stats are right now?
Yes, give that to us.
3 games he's been in. He's pitched an inning and 2/3. He's got an ERA of 32.4. He's got a whip of 4.80. He's struck out 1. He has walked 4. He's given up 4 hits, 6 earned runs. But he has 2 holds. To his credit, he's got 2 holds.
I think he had a hold yesterday.
He got a hold yesterday.
Isn't that really screwed up with baseball stats? Like that, baseball could be really smart with some of the analytical stats, but yet Craig Kimbrell gets credited with
a hold.
That's ridiculous. So what's wrong with him? That's the million-dollar question. Well, he met the media today, and we're hearing this at the same time as you guys, so let's hear what he had to say.
Craig, right now, it seems like everybody wants to talk about your mechanics and tweaking some things. Do you feel right now like your mechanics are off in your last couple outings, or do you feel fine? It's just not going exactly the way you want it to go.
I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, obviously, start off, I got myself into some bad habits mechanically and just wasn't finishing the way I should, and I was showing the ball a little more than I should. I actually felt like last night, I've been working on a lot, but I felt like last night I did some things a little better, but when it comes down to it, you still have to execute a certain pitch in a certain location at certain times. And I wasn't able to do that. You know, you leave fastball over the middle, it's going to get hit. It doesn't really matter how hard it is or how good your stuff is. So, you know, as much as it is mechanics at times, obviously location is a big part of it as well. If you don't want to give up hard contact.
Craig, beginning right there, but I'm curious when you see them not swinging at your curveball at all, what's your reaction to that, and how do you try and counter that?
I think at times it's one of two things. Either I'm showing it too early, or it's not starting as a strike, or they've already had that game plan to eliminate the curveball and sit on the fastball, especially when I have a hard time throwing for strikes. You know, I think that's a big pitch. You land a breaking ball for a strike, and then it kind of expands the zone and opens it up and then gets them thinking that you can go back to it for a strike when you need to. So it's little things like that. I think hitting's a lot easier when you can eliminate pitches. And my job is to make sure nothing can be eliminated. So I think landing that curveball for a strike is pretty important.
Craig, when you talk about getting into those – bad habits mechanically, when did that start and how?
I'm not exactly sure. All I'm really worried about right now is figuring out how to get rid of it and get back into a comfortable spot where I'm out there competing against the batter in the box, not competing against myself on the mound. And I think that's the biggest thing I'm trying to find right now.
You mentioned throwing that curveball for strikes. The at-bat last night with Cordero. Do you think that's kind of the perfect example of what you're talking about, where, you know, he took those, they fall in, and that kind of set you up for that fastball?
I think so. I mean, obviously, it's all about eye level. I could throw a back foot curveball or curveball down on the plate, but if I'm not showing anything out over to make him commit to it, the chances of him swinging at it aren't very good.
How does last year relate to this year, Craig? And knowing the combination of it all, it, has your confidence taken a hit?
No, I mean, I'm still going out there trying to compete. I'm not going out there saying that I think I can get beat today. I don't want to be out here, but by no means am I anywhere close to that. I think, if anything, it's just the more frustration towards myself being put in the spot, putting myself in the spot that I'm in, putting my team in the spot that I've been put in, having to ask guys to get up and throw more based on my performance. I think all those things are things I'm most frustrated with. But actually, the confidence of going out there, I'm still confident, still know I can go out there and get outs. It's just the bottom line of going out there and doing it. And I still think I can do that. And I think with the trust that Rossi has put in me so far, and he's stuck with me, we're going to work through this, and things are going to be all right.
And is it connected to issues from last year, or is it completely different, or is it all the same thing?
I'm not going to try to put any reasons or you know, we're all put in different situations at different times, and you got to figure it out. And unfortunately, I haven't figured that out yet.
Is it kind of tough, though? I mean, since we started back, looks like you dropped about 20 pounds or so. Looked like everything was trending in the right direction when summer training started again.
Yeah. But I still think everything that I've done is going to work itself out. It's just not showing yet.
Craig, how fortunate do you feel that the team is 9-2? And what can you say about the job that guys like Jeffers, Ryan, Tepp, those guys have done? You already kind of mentioned to, you know, come in and shore up the bullpen in some of those situations.
No, those guys definitely have stepped up down the bullpen. And going out there and competing every night. And I think as a team, we've done a really good job of going day to day. I think you don't win series unless you go one game at a time. And our team has done that each and every night. And as different, as weird as everything is, our team's done a good job of doing what we need to do and showing up and playing ball every night. And, you know, what's the saying, is rinse, wash, repeat? And I think that's what we've been doing. And, God, the energy level has been there. I think that's one thing that I've seen throughout, you know, not just in the bullpen or in the dugout, throughout the whole team. As energy stricken as some of these games have been with no fans in the seats, they've done a good job in the dugout, keeping momentum and keeping energy. I think that's a big part of keeping this thing rolling.
Craig, you've had so much success in your career, and I think it was Theo the other day who kind of characterized this as a new challenge for you. How have you dealt with that frustration and the mental side?
Just try to channel it in the right direction. With every, you know, mishap or failure, you got to figure out why you did that, figure out what you need to do to become better. You know, things are always changing. I've been playing this game for a long time now. There's a lot of things in this game that has changed. And I mean, that's no excuse. It's my job to figure those changes out and be the best pitcher I can when I go out there and compete and try to do my job for this team.
Craig, how much does John Baker and his department come into positives for you and what you're trying to do?
Yeah, Baker's always there. He's you know, I mean, I wouldn't say we've worked together a ton, but he's always there if you need him, and he's always, you know, he's always positive, obviously, and the role that he's in. So big part about this, and any kind of struggles, it'd be easy to get down and negative points, but you got to look for the positives in them, keep moving forward. There's, you know, there's really nothing else I can do, so just got to keep on going.
All right, Waddle, there it was. We heard it together.
I give him credit. You know, he's addressing the issues. This has got to be difficult for him. Like you said, prior to Chicago, he has had a Hall of Fame caliber career.
I'll never forget when the Cubs faced him, when he was like, I think when he first got to Boston. Like, it was an interleague series, and he was just throwing it, and you had no clue what was coming. And the Cubs had no clue on how to hit him. And, like, when he was great, he was fantastic.
You know, despite what we saw, and, like, this year it's only been three games, but what we saw for the entirety of the 23 games he pitched last year, and then towards the end at Boston, with all of that in mind, his career ERA is still 2.17, and his career WHIP is 0.96.
Right, right. Well, okay, so you give him credit. Look,
absolutely.
You would always say, though, that your kids don't deserve extra credit for not doing drugs. He's a highly compensated professional who's not doing his job.
Oh, you can't
and
give
he's
him
supposed
the ball.
To sit up. Yeah, well, I mean, you're supposed to sit up there then and answer questions.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm just saying, like, look, some guys won't even address it. You're right. I mean, I don't give him any extra credit, but listen, some guys handle things with a professional approach, and some guys don't.
Here's the question for you guys. I thought the best stuff there. I mean, like, you know, he talked about mechanically that he thought he worked. Like, yesterday was a location issue. He thinks he was better mechanically last night.
Right. So. His location was he was on the mound, and you don't want him on the mound.
You've been great today. You've been some
I mean,
really
that's the location. Like, location. Right. You get your ass and sit over on the bench.
But the most interesting stuff, I thought, is when Jesse asked him the question about, I think it was Jesse, about his confidence. He said his confidence isn't shaken. He's totally fine. Do you believe him?
How could you believe him, right? I would just, instead of calling him a liar, I will say to you, if I was him, my confidence definitely would be shook.
But, like, admitting that, you can't admit that.
No, you can't, like, say, hey, my confidence is shook, and expect David Ross to still give you the baseball. So
it is so dumb. You're in the lose-lose situation as an athlete. You can either lie and say, oh, no, I'm always confident in myself, or you can admit the truth and then, like you said, Waddle, basically turn yourself into, oh, God, he's a head case.
Right.
He can't.
And the manager's not giving you the baseball if you're standing up there and you're kind of shaking, going, yeah, my confidence is gone.
You're not human if your confidence isn't shaken. You're 31 years old. You're not that old. Like you just said, Waddle, those numbers just above a 2 ERA for your career, you've been one of the best out there. And all of a sudden, at the end of 18, coming to the Cubs in 19, this year, it's just gotten progressively worse. How can your confidence not be down? You haven't been good in a little bit now.
No, you're right. I don't know how his confidence could be anything but completely shook at this point.
Somebody tweeted yesterday, Abdallah, and Abdallah just mentioned it too, about maybe a good question would have been for Bob Tewksbury. We should get him on the phone.
No.
Hey, Tewks. No. But you know I didn't clear that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to talk about anything about players.
Hey, Bob, what do you think the problem with Craig is?
So I don't know when they pitch him now. I mean, are they going to IL him? No one really asked him that question. I mean, does he still stay active on the roster?
Well, the good thing the Cubs have going their direction is they're 9-2.
Right.
So, and
their bullpen is bad.
No doubt, but hopefully they'll find themselves in a couple more four-run lead situations where you can give him the baseball, I guess. But if it's anything even in the same zip code as a high-leverage situation, he can't get the ball. Not now.
All right, if you want to weigh in, what should the Cubs do with Kimbrel? 312-332-3776. It's 312-332-ESPN. Also today, Cap... And me, our relationship has never been better, Waddle.
I think you guys are going to get an apartment somewhere downtown,
yeah,
aren't you?
Like, he's been very supportive during all this. I mentioned on Twitter the other day, like, at the end of the Cubs game, there he was, like, delivering me pie, key lime pie, one of my favorites, on my doorstep. Really, really, like, great stuff.
He is a sweetheart of a human being. There is no question about that.
But I was told today... he was really pissed at me. And you're going to hear it coming up next.
It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000. We'll be right back.
were talking about the Cubs and Sox, as baseball has been top of mind. So much is going on. We've got Hawks tonight, too. White Sox on our air tonight, by the way, Waddle, as they
That's
look for
awesome.
Their seventh win in a row. Conflict down the dial with GN. So Andy Mazur, DJ, right, will be on our air?
I believe so.
And that's coming up after the baseball show.
Fantastic.
It's a 6:30 pregame show coming up, so should be good. We were talking Cubs and Sox yesterday, and Cap's been, I don't know if you've got the rejoin ready, Mel, or if I should just, do you want me to just explain to everybody?
Yeah, the radio tricks that were talked about yesterday on this show.
Yeah, Sylvie, you were talking about Cap using the radio tricks with the whole, you know,
so lately, he's like, you know me, I'm a P1 to Cap and Company. I love what we do on this radio station. Every morning at 9, I tune on and see what Cap's hot take of the day is going to be. and then I proceed to either, like, yell at the radio or say, okay, got one right. And the other day, he's been saying, like, in the last week, all of a sudden, there's been two bandwagon things that he's been really on lately. Is one, Joe Maddon is, like, the evil empire. And, like, he was really bad for the Cubs and, like, this.
Despite three trips to the NLCS and a World Series title.
Right, like, yeah. He keeps making fun of the animals and the magicians and the road trips and, like, there was no good. And which is funny, too, because I don't know if you remember, Waddle, him and I got into it about the 2016 World Series, where he was always defending Joe, and I was getting mad at the way he had the quick hook. And then it just completely changed, where now I'm defending Joe, and he hates Joe.
Yeah.
And then the other one is, now, Cap's been a diehard Cubs fan his entire life. You can never question that. You can question some of the opinions at times, but the one thing you can never question is his heart.
His allegiance to his favorite baseball team is unshakable.
And his great, and his brother, who is awesome, Dr. Bruce, has been a Sox fan.
Yeah.
So they've had this huge rivalry. They've talked trash. Cap doesn't like the Sox. Bruce doesn't like the Cubs. And now all of a sudden, Cap has deemed himself, as Harry called this, Harry Tynowitz's best phrases he ever came up with was bisexual. Like, if you like both teams, you're bisexual. So that's if you like the Cubs and the Sox. And now all of a sudden, Cap is saying that he's a Sox fan because they're good. And I called it a radio trick.
Well, by the way, you know, I've always thought he felt about the Sox the way he felt about Notre Dame. Like,
yes.
His favorite team is the team that is always playing Notre Dame, right?
Hmm. Right. And I don't know if it's that. Like, I would always term it that he didn't like the Sox. He would maybe argue with you, Waddle, that he wasn't a Sox hater. We could argue that. But he certainly didn't like them. And now all of a sudden he's claiming it's okay to like both teams. And that's been a sore spot in this radio station in the past. It has caused other hosts in the past.
Fights? Have there been fights?
There's been physical altercations. That is not an exaggeration, between hosts over the Cubs, Sox, and cheering for both.
Sounds a bit odd, but accurate.
So then what now, Mellor, what is this? I missed this. I heard.
I don't think you give him any insight. I think you just let him hear it, right, Mellor? Don't you think?
So this is Cap's response after they played him, me calling it a radio trick. Because I believe that right now what Cap is doing is a radio trick. Sox fans have never been more excited. They're back on their bandwagon with the baseball team. They look incredible. So what better way to capture both sides of town than to say that he's now a Sox fan as well, and this is how Cap responded.
Yeah, I think he was having a chemo moment there. Look, Sylvie, I love you dearly. That is just a really, really bad take. I have consistently, from the day I was put on Mother Earth by my mother, Lila Kaplan, to the day the good Lord takes me and puts me in the ground, I will be a Cubs fan, always. But in the year 2020, when we have the most divided nation we've ever seen, we've got a global pandemic that's killed Lord knows how many people and infected so many more, I just don't have hate in my heart. I can't do it. I can't do it. That's a fun team on the South Side. My dearest friend in my life is my brother. He's a diehard White Sox fan, and even he has said, hey, man, when you guys went to the World Series at 16, I went, life's too short. I'm rooting for them. I want my brother to see them win. Like, I can't do it. When the Cubs and White Sox hook up in the World Series this year, I hope we sweep their ass 4-0. I do. I absolutely do. Because I can always say, take that. But if you tell me that it's the Dodgers and the White Sox, yeah, I'm cheering for the White Sox. It says Chicago on the front of the jersey. Come on, Sylvie, you're better than that. You're better than that, Sylvie. Look, I've had people in my life with cancer. They talk about chemo brain as they go through this horrible battle. That's what Heath was fighting there yesterday on the show. It happens.
I think chemo brain is akin to like having an argument with someone and they go nuclear and say, yeah, well, I slept with your mom.
Yeah. Well, I had sex with your wife.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, that's the nuclear option. Like, you're in the middle of this great conversation, and then that's, like, you've got chemo brain. What?
He's turned into Costanza. He's like, it's cancer boy over there. He's got chemo brain.
Yeah, it felt like a low blow when I was listening to it driving in this morning. I'm not going to lie.
A little bit. I know he doesn't mean it in a low blow fashion, but
and that's what I said on Sunday when I tweeted that out. That because he brings
pie to your
key
house,
lime pie,
yeah.
And he is like Waddle has always told me because Waddle knows Cap as well as anybody, and I knew him from the past, but I didn't know him like Waddle knew him. Waddle would always say Cap's a sweetheart of a guy, and I've experienced that firsthand during this journey. So I know deep down that during this, he's been in my corner. Like, there's been many people in my corner. Cap's been as big in my corner as any of those people.
Yeah, he's a quality dude. No doubt.
I give him the pass. Well, I'm cool with it. That didn't affect. It made me actually laugh.
I know I could hear you.
My favorite part of it was not that it was.
He went there twice.
Yeah, the chemo brain stuff. Yeah,
he circled back to it. Yeah.
My favorite part is that how he's like, he compares, he relates why he's rooting for the White Sox now and the Cubs to the fact that our nation is divided and a global pandemic. He's like, you know what, guys? There's the nation. Our nation is divided.
Meantime, this is 20 minutes after he's ripped Joe Maddon for being an unprofessional
manager. People are wearing
masks.
People are not wearing masks. People are fighting in the streets.
With your mom and her sister.
And because of that reason, I've decided to come together. And how I'm going to come together is root for both baseball teams.
Yeah? Well, I had sex with your wife.
What's a chemo boy?
Yeah, I think he was having a chemo moment
there. Well, yeah, that's the thing is he can't go to the bald route because he's just pointing, you know, it's just the Spider-Man pointing at each other.
Right, he's pointing into the mirror.
Oh, my. Here's the thing.
Had you not heard that? You didn't know that was coming?
I listened from 9 to 10:15, and then I just missed it. I was getting all these tweets because then he was sending people to tweet me for some reason to tell me to unmute them or
even that's almost a worse move to tell folks on Twitter to call you out in some way due to chemotherapy.
No, it wasn't about that. It was something about
all the people that he goes, if I've blocked you or muted you, tweet at Waddle and Sylvie and let him know. And it's like, why? Why would I let him know?
Because we're a divided nation and now we got to be together.
Well, and you hear about his unity walk?
Right, I heard that today.
Yeah, so
you can't walk on the highway. Is he going to walk like along the?
You could take.
Is he going to go up like Lakeshore Drive?
Doesn't the North Shore path go the whole way? Doesn't the lake? Doesn't the path? Can't you take the bike path?
I don't know.
Doesn't it go all the way up?
I think it may. I think it weaves around.
My favorite part about this is that did he not realize that the walk from the station to his house is having all these people end up at his house?
Right.
They're all going to know where he lives?
Not just that, but you can't congregate. Everyone's got to be 6 feet apart.
I want to unite. I want to unite this city. Everybody to Riverwoods.
It's Gene Greco.
Hey, look who's
in.
Here. Mark Gene Greco. He's got his mask on.
Up and everything.
Do the show with your mask
That's
on?
Good.
Oh, he needs some
You
spray.
Need some sanitizer? Yeah. I'll walk it in.
All right, let him sanitize. The one thing, really quick, and then Mark, you will come on. The one, of course, Cap goes extreme. I'm not talking about in the World Series if the Sox are playing the Dodgers, because when the Sox played the Astros, for all my Sox fan friends, I wanted the Sox to win. But he says he's a Sox fan right now in the middle of the regular season. And that, I don't care how crazy the world is today, that to me is a radio trick. More Gene Greco coming up next.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
Mark G. Greco joins us in the first Midwest Bank studio. He's brought to you by our great friends and partners at Chicago Cut Steakhouse. Shout out to David Flom, Maddie Moore.
How are they doing? I haven't talked to David or Maddie in a while.
Have you talked to him recently? About a week ago, yeah. And he sent me some great messages. He was with Chelly. Was wearing the Sylvie Strong shirt.
All right.
That's an honor right there.
Yeah.
Talk about a Hockey Hall of Famer. And just an all-around great guy. And remember, the Sylvie Strong challenge is going on. Use that hashtag on Twitter or on Instagram. And if you're in the shirt or you make yourself one of the homemade shirts, we're going to give away prizes. We've got a television and streaming service. We've got gift cards to Obvious Shirts. It's a contest through all of August. So
a television. That sounds like you're giving away a big Zenith. That's in a wooden case.
A flat Not anymore. Screen. Flat screen,
better?
Baby.
Is that better to say that? Yeah.
You can get really good, nice, big televisions now for a very reasonable price.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. When the technology evolves, the price goes down.
So this television we're giving away is going to be a really nice one.
I'm sure it is.
So make sure you use that hashtag, Sylvie Strong Challenge. You've got to be following us on Twitter, at ESPN1000, and at ESPN1000 on Instagram. Is there an underscore in there, Abdallah, too, really quick? I feel like one of them has an underscore in there, but make sure you're following us on Instagram and Twitter. Then use that hashtag of yourself somewhere creatively with the shirt, funny pose, somewhere famous, whatever, and you could win that TV and a streaming service or flat screen and the gift cards from obviousshirts.com.
Very nice. Follow us on Instagram, ESPN_Chicago.
There you go. Yeah. I'm all sanitized here. I sprayed Tommy down. I wiped down my air.
Yeah, I feel better now.
Got my little mask.
We need
yeah.
one of those things when you walk in the studio door, like which football team had it?
The Broncos.
Yeah, you need one of those when we walk in the studio door.
Just get misted.
Yeah.
By the way, can I give you some baseball, a baseball note
yes,
that,
please.
you know, don't overthink it, but Max Scherzer is done after one inning, 27 pitches, and diminished velocity.
Ooh.
So, just wanted, you know, I know we're in, you know, we're looking at
different
things.
And his other eye turned blue. They had to pull him.
So now they're both blue.
Wow. Hey, speaking of Instagram, you know, we're sitting here watching hockey all day, which is so great.
Yeah.
Just one game after another. And this Tampa Bay-Boston game has been very chippy and a lot of fights.
There's been fights there. I mean, it's been old school hockey.
Which reminded me of the Instagram commercial by the Wiener Circle, which you have to see, which obviously could not air on broadcast television, where they're giving away a free hot dog if, you know, the Blackhawks beat up an Oiler. And, you know, the lovely lady who takes your order and insults you while you're giving the order, she has a great appearance in this ad where she just destroys all Canadians.
We cannot play it because there'd be way too much bleeping
you'll enjoy it on Instagram.
It's a Chicago institution, the Wiener Circle.
Yes, it is.
You go there late at night. I know Friedel used to go there. I'm sure you've gone there many times, haven't you?
With Friedel, he is a celebrity.
Is he? Do they not yell nasty things at him?
Oh, they know him. He walks in because he's the ESPN man. So when he walks in there, he gets free chocolate shakes. If you Google that, want to know what that is. They walk in, like Chris and I were drunk one night with him, and we walked in, and it was like we walked in with Brad Pitt. Like, they went nuts for him.
That's awesome. I've done a couple of 4 a.m.ers there.
Really?
Yeah.
How late are they open?
Well, I don't know. It might have been closed, but I was there.
You're still there?
Yeah. They're open at least to, what, 1, 2 in the morning, something
Well, they
like
used
that,
to be open till 4 back in the day.
Really?
Now I think it's midnight or 1. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is the wiener that good?
The insults are better. Okay. The food's great.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
Food's great, and everything's good at
1
in the morning,
It's great, you know.
That's true, Sylvie.
It's great hangover
food. One in the morning, everything tastes good.
You need grease.
Hot French fries at 1 in the morning.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Can you get a little chilly on those? Can you get a little chilly on your fries
That's
there?
Dangerous, Waddle, for someone like you.
No doubt.
Got to make sure it's chilly.
What could it be, Mark?
The guy could have thrown up right before you.
You know what?
Are the Hawks going to...
Speaking of throwing up.
Yeah, are they going to throw up or are they going to thrive tonight?
I don't know. I don't feel good about it. Drake Kajula's back, so maybe he can provide a little grit and slow down his buddy, Connor McDavid. But I don't know. Crawford's back in goal. Of course he would be.
Why would you make a goalie change at this point? No, you wouldn't.
Not them. No. I have no confidence in Subban, really. Delia might be a better way to go if Crawford gets hurt or something happens. But
Dalla, you're going to like what just happened up there.
Ooh, lightning.
Not allowed to be happy about that.
I know.
Lightning the boss go up 3-2.
The boss put a little money down on the Bruins.
Ooh.
And Abdallah sat there and knowing that he was nodding his head, but Abdallah early this morning put his money down on the Lightning.
See, I'm glad people are actually betting on hockey.
Are you kidding me? People are betting on everything right now.
Yeah, they can't wait.
Did you see the guy?
I'll bet on two rats fighting in an alley, dude. Like,
well, we just ran a great video of a guy whipping himself at an OTB watching a race, and his horse won.
I saw this. Yeah. Did you show this to Waddle? Waddle, have you seen this?
Is this something new or one of the old school ones where guys do that?
Explain this, Mark.
Where they take the rolled up program and they're hitting themselves?
That's
trying to get the horse home? Yeah.
Well, this horse won. This horse won.
This is a new one?
Yeah. Yeah.
But the way he was doing it, he was hitting himself in the ass like he would hit all...
Right, like a horse.
You live vicariously through your mount and your rider.
It was so funny. It was so funny, Mark.
I got to make sure that's new, since, Tommy, you said that.
I saw it in a couple different places today.
Yeah, I saw it today. So
is he standing looking at a bunch of screens?
Yes.
I think that's an older one.
Really?
I think so.
It's still funny.
I may be wrong, but... Like, I don't even know where you're allowed to be inside now. I think you may be able to go to tracks around the United States, some of them, and sit outside. But I don't know if you're allowed to even be inside.
You know what you can do? You can drive 4.5 hours to Casino Queen
and sign up
to gamble.
Oh, God.
So the governor never followed through on our request?
Oh, he doesn't want to talk to us.
No. Why not?
Who wants to talk to us?
Look.
He's more concerned with schools right now.
Cap called him and told him that you had chemo brain.
Mark, did you hear that Cap said that today?
Yeah, I did hear he said that. What was in reference to? What did you say?
Because I said he's all of a sudden rooting for the White Sox for the first time like in his life. And I called it a radio trick. I think it's a good radio trick.
It is a radio trick. It's a standard radio trick, and he's King Flipper. So, I mean.
Yeah, I think he was having a chemo moment there.
Oh, wow. Really? Really? You think you can get away with that?
You know what? I compared that. I said that's akin to having an argument with someone and just out of the blue going nuclear and saying, oh, yeah, well, I slept with your mom.
Exactly.
Yeah? Well, I had sex with your wife.
Hey, it is what is. I've got to deal with it anyway, so.
So what's he going to
do? What's with the worse, your wife or your mom?
He's doing his doing a unify walk?
Yes, that's what he's
going to unify all his personalities? There you go. Take that, Mr. Chemo Brain. Don't be calling my guy Chemo Brain.
Yeah, I think he was having a chemo moment there.
Jeez. Let's go with Ego Brain. God. Ripping Sylvie. Wow. I'm going to have to come after him.
He gave an explanation, didn't he? Didn't he? Like, he's known some people that have gone through the same thing. Mel, you got to play that portion of it as well. Like, he almost, he's tried to justify it.
The thing is I read about it. Thankfully, I don't think I've experienced it because, like.
Wink, wink.
Yeah, like your memory go. You know, like sometimes you forget stuff.
Hey, I'm eating Prevagen like M&M's now. I can't remember anything.
I've had people in my life with cancer. They talk about chemo brain.
Okay, so he's trying to clean it up now.
Horrible battle. That's what he was fighting there.
Yeah, clean it.
It happens.
It sounded like he was responding to Mark there. Yeah. It was like, it happens.
He was in the room.
Later tonight, though, he's going to deliver some sort of delicious dessert to your place.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
I have a delivery for chemo brain.
We're always still going to argue about sports.
Of course
sports.
You are, that's especially baseball.
Yeah. Oh, really quick, Mark, though, in case I want to make sure I didn't have chemo brain and forget. Did you give us, though, your take on fighting? Should these people not fight? I mean, especially with COVID? I mean,
we don't want any fighting. We just want to watch the majesty in the skill of hockey. We don't need fights anymore.
I don't know how that like you're out there spitting and sweating and doing everything next to anyone anyway. It's like what's the difference if you fight or not?
Well, let's not draw blood, okay? Let's try to draw the line there.
But I don't think it passes via blood. It passes via, you know, respiratory droplets, right, Meller? He's our resident virologist.
Urologist?
Virologist. Oh. Virologist? Epidemiologist?
Are you a viral virologist?
I prefer to be the epidemiologist. That
okay.
That's where I would
whatever it is. No, I said it doesn't pass through
you
blood.
You get epidemiology
right?
brain.
It goes through respiratory droplets.
What you know through now, what
well,
we know right now.
This is every sport.
Yeah, that's the point. Is it's
yeah. We don't need any fighting, okay? Because hockey is so spectacular. The skill, the
Listen,
speed.
Did you see how bad guys were sweating on the pitch when the MLS tournament was going on down in Orlando?
Yeah. Plus, you really exert yourself when you're faking an injury every 5 minutes.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Yes. But my point is if you're in a bubble the way they all are and everyone's testing negative, like whether you are fighting or not fighting, give me some fighting.
No, we don't need any fighting.
There's no extra risk.
The goals are beautiful to watch. You don't need
goals,
right?
But, Mark, you're just saying no fighting because you love the sport. This has nothing to do with COVID. Like, Waddle's just like, look,
let's get this going on.
It's also, look, I'm ready to punch somebody out now. I mean, you know, when you're in a bubble, who said it? Somebody said, we're not in a bubble, we're being sequestered. And, you know, so people are getting on one another's nerves.
You're getting...
You're being trapped in your hotel room. Well, you're going from the ice to your room, from the court to your room.
Yeah, but you agreed to the sequestering, and you're getting paid handsomely for it.
So really, you get cranky, but you still don't need to be fighting.
Okay. I'm fine with it. Chippiness? Yeah. Can we have a little chippiness?
Little chippy, yeah.
All right.
Little trash talking from a distance, no spitting.
Okay, good.
Okay.
I want to get your thoughts on what Craig Kimbrell said today, Mark, and we'll also check in with Jonathan Hood.
He's fine.
With the baseball show coming up, and we've got White Sox baseball on our air today.
He's got yip brain.
It's all coming up. Mark Gene Greco is brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse.
Tonight's baseball show is brought to you by Timeout Sports Bar and Countryside. Stop in and grab a couple Goose Island White Sox Golden Ales tonight. Timeout Sports Bar, a proud official White Sox bar, and is an awesome place to watch a Sox game.
Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Boom, 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 boom.
Mark Gene Greco is in the First Midwest Bank studio, brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse. Craig Kimbrell spoke today, Marky. Says it's mechanical. He's working on it. He thought some things were better yesterday, except his location. What do you do with
his location? Is he still with the team?
That's what I said. I said his location was he was on the mound. Yeah. We don't want him on the mound.
He's in Kansas City. That's a bad location right now.
What do you do with him?
I don't know. You know what? You try to fix him if you're Rossi in the bullpen, not in the ninth inning. I mean, I give him one more shot. And then if he looks like he did last night, if he continues to not have any command at all, I work on him on a backfield in the bullpen. You can't put him in a game.
On the injured list, would you put him on the injured list, give him a mental break, 10 days, work on him mechanically, and hope the 10 days he comes back?
Well, put it this way. If a Cub gets hurt, then he would be the first alternative, you know?
Right.
If somebody else goes down. I can't give him. Listen, if you've got a 5-run lead, I can give him the ball and let him try to work on some stuff. But if you're anything close to a high-leverage situation,
I don't know.
His location needs
to be...
5-run
lead, that's kind of dicey.
With him, it has been,
5-2 was.
It's unbelievable, too, because as Sylvie and I were talking about earlier, like, his career prior to last year, I mean, it's a Hall of Fame relief pitcher's career.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just astonishing what he was able to do.
And he's not that old. He's 31, I think.
Is that what his age is?
31 or 32?
Yeah, he's right. He's 31, yep.
31.
Wow.
He's not that old.
No.
Maybe he's got to change the flap thing. Go with a whole new mechanical setup. Grow the beard back and the hair.
The dangling arm?
Yeah.
Change that up, like...
Yeah, stop dangling that thing.
Go to Karate Kid.
Instead of dangle
mode.
It, put your hand up like, take me out. Rossi, hey, I don't know.
We need the lefty.
You know what, though? It's like, and I know he's not old, like you said. It says here he's 32, 31, 32, whatever it takes, okay? But it's, and I know he's not at the age that he's washed up, but it's almost like watching a boxer who is still in the ring, and you know his skills have deteriorated, and a guy who was a champion.
Like,
and you're
Roy
watching
Jones Jr. against Mike Tyson?
And,
that's almost every boxer.
You're watching a guy just get pummeled, and you're like, wow, that's the last memory I'm having of this guy. This guy's a Hall of Fame boxer. In some ways, it feels like that. Or watching an accomplished quarterback just lose it and then throw picks and just be
Joe
lost.
Namath as a Ram.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know what? If he truly believes what he said today, as you said, Tommy, he has this great resume to fall back on saying, look, I still have it. So I'm going to be positive and convince myself that I can fix this.
Yeah.
That's what he's relying on now. He's on fumes, but still thinks he has a little bit in the tank.
So much to talk about with Hoodie with the baseball show coming up. Nick Madrigal also separated his shoulder.
Yeah, it's tough.
So he's going to be out. Rickon is hopeful that he could come back maybe at the end of the month, and then this could require off-season surgery.
Which bothers me, because if you got to have that taken care of with a procedure in the off-season, there's a chance you could damage that coming back next month. Even more so, don't you think?
Or at least it would bother you swinging a bat, right?
Yeah.
That's what Waddle brought up.
Yeah.
What's up, Hoodie?
What's up? Yeah, well, you know, seeing Madrigal slide into third base, I thought it was his wrist, and comes to find out it's his shoulder. So that's just tough for the White Sox. I mean, he's got the walking wounded going on right now while you're trying to win. That's really tough to do.
What's the latest on Encarnacion? He hurt himself too swinging.
Day to day
with a shoulder.
Yeah.
Everybody's got a shoulder.
Well, that's the one thing, Jonathan, as you said. I mean, the injuries are the one thing you keep an eye on with the Sox. Tim Anderson's been out. You don't expect that to last forever, but Rodon's out of the rotation now. I mean, Ricky's going to have his hands full with trying to get five guys to take the baseball in that rotation.
You don't have the luxury.
No.
Ricky's boys don't quit. Well, that was the slogan from last year. Ricky's boys don't quit, when they quit a lot. But not necessarily in 2020. I mean, the thing that you like about both sides of town is when you're down late, you have a feeling that your team's going to come back. You're invested for nine innings. How many games have you watched with the Cubs and Sox over the years and you say, boy, they're down a couple of runs after the sixth inning, this is a wrap.
Right. That was the Cubs last year, wasn't it? Like,
yeah.
Like, there were a lot of runs at times, and then they would go
silent.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if you saw what I did today, Hoodie, but I stirred the pot, the Cubs Sox pot. I had that Arietta Maddox question the other day. So today I did, who had the better MLB career, better Chicago MLB career, Konerko or Rizzo? And I know Rizzo's still in progress, but up until this point. And we've had 6,200 votes in just a couple of hours.
Got a lot of angry Southsiders on that.
Yeah, I saw that earlier, and it gave me pause, because that's one of those things that makes you think. Like, okay, both have a World Series ring. Both means a lot to their teams. Of course, I'm going to lean Konerko in that spot. Or maybe I'll just go off the board and say Mark Grace, because I guess he's great because he's on the Marquee Network.
For the last couple of days, right?
It feels Grace feels like he played like in the 70s. It seems like he's been so far away from the team, being with the Arizona Diamondbacks and not really around the Cubs outside of the convention. To see him back, it's like, oh, yeah, Mark Grace, like one of the guys from the 90s, one of the best hitters in the 90s.
Right. All pre-scripted ad-libs, like Dan Hampton doing football analysis.
And I love Gracie, too. You know, he was such a good interview and such a good player.
Oh, last night he's like, back in 86. Wow.
Like
sounds
Dan
like
Hampton.
Me, for crying out loud.
I love a Chevy. Tommy, you know I love a Chevy. Tommy, you know I love a Chevy.
So good. What's coming up, Huddy? I know you got a shortened show because of Sox baseball coming up at 6:35.
Yeah, we're just going to build a bridge to White Sox baseball. We'll talk about both teams and also really delve into what Rick Hahn and Theo Epstein had to say, both optimistic about both sides of town. So we'll get into that as well.
All right, the baseball show coming up in just two
Chevy.
Short
You got
minutes.
Any Theo ripping Joe Madden again while praising Rossi?
No,
that's Cap.
You know,
yeah, that was Cap. No, yeah.
No. Theo taking a not-so-veiled swing at Joe yesterday.
Yeah, but that Rossi.
Well, we corrected
handling.
A lot of things that have been wrong for years.
Ah, Marky, I remember your days at Channel 5. It was great.
Yeah.
Thanks to Chuck Garfine, Michael Wilbon, Mark Jean Greco. We've got, again, Sox and Brewers at 6:35. The baseball show coming up in just 2 minutes. Thanks to Abdallah
build that bridge.
And Mallor.
Yeah,
yes.
Build it.
And for Marky and Waddle, I'm Selvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great and safe Wednesday night.